This episode of Football 301, a special live recap. Matt Harmon joined me to recap Monday Night Football wildcard weekend. The Texans, they spanked the Steelers. Let's be honest. They spanked the Steelers. It was tight, but it pulled away in the end, and appropriately with a pick six for Aaron Rodgers. But Matt and I talked all about it. Talked about the game. Talked about the Stroud turnovers. Don't you guys worry. Talked about the Texans defense. Talked about what can go on with the Steelers in the future. Very fun show with Matt. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. We're live reacting to Texans Steelers Monday night wild card weekend capper that ended with that, with almost appropriately a pick six on Aaron Rodgers' last pass of the night, I believe. And that kind of felt very fitting to go into this show and to cap off that game, which we kind of expected. It was a dead dove game from Arrested Development. It's exactly what I don't know what I was expecting, but Nate Tice here. I'm joined by doubleheader, or really back-to-back nights. And we got three tomorrow. We're like an NBA schedule. Matt Harmon, great to see you, Matt. How you doing? You survived that game?
I survived. I don't know about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, you said it was Aaron Rodgers' last pass of the night. Definitely that. Might have been the last pass of his NFL career, as Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were talking on and on and on about, appropriately so, if that is indeed the end of Aaron Rodgers' career. And yeah, I mean, it's like you said, what did you expect? That went about as bad as it possibly could have, and it went pretty much to script in a variety of different ways here, as we'll talk about shortly.
Yeah, it was. Let's jump into it. Texans beat the Steelers 30-6. It felt like 30-6. It could have been more. The Texans just kind of, I don't know how familiar you are with Waterboy, but you know, Mr. Coach Klein talks about, oh, he has time to dust off the ball and stumble around and you know, look, he's not even trying to get into the end zone. Oh, there he goes. That was the Texans offense for a chunk of the night, and they pretty much dominated. I think the stat of the night for me is the average third down distances for both teams. That the Texans on offense had an impressive performance, I thought, on first down outside of the turnovers. the CJ Stroud seemed to be, you know, some magnet that was in Heinz Field tonight. But no, the Texans averaged 5.5 yards to go on third down, which is tremendous. Anything under 7 is good. Anything under 6 is very, very good. The Steelers, 11.1 yards to go on third down. That was their average. That is a hard way to win, especially with a quarterback that, you know, doesn't really like to push the ball unless he's got a free play. And sure enough, the Steelers had 12 snaps, a third and long, which is third and 7+. They finished 2 of 14. They had a 26% success rate, a 19% success rate. This is going into the last drive. Sorry, I didn't include the Mason Rudolph drive. 3 yards per play, negative 0.56 EPA per play, 3.3 net yards per attempt. The Texans could dust the ball off and dominated this game. That's what their defense does. And I don't know how you felt about this game, Matt Harmon, but that's kind of what I more or less expected. But what'd you think about the Texans' defense performance tonight? Just truly just a Legion of Boom-esque performance from the Texans' defense.
Yeah, they did what they do, which is they line up and play, and they're going to kick your ass all night. And that's exactly what they did to that Pittsburgh Steelers offense. I think they blitzed 4 times in this game, if my numbers are correct, updated here. Like, that is just insane. And they were just all over. Look, we showered actually this Steelers offensive line, some of these guys, with some praise in our all underappreciated show. And I think it actually was kind of appropriate that, yeah, you are this all underappreciated type team there for Pittsburgh, and then you go against a real team. And that's maybe when we were flying our kites a little high last time we spoke last night, where it's like, hey, our all football 301 underappreciated team could maybe win a playoff game. And I think maybe the Texans reminded us, I don't know, our offense probably is more, our receivers are definitely more dynamic, our pass catchers are more dynamic than what Pittsburgh is throwing out there. But that was just a little reminder that, oh yeah, they couldn't really block those guys up front. They definitely could not get open on the back end. I said on yesterday's recap that sometimes when you come out of a game and everybody's like, nothing's open on the back end, you know, they're fibbing. I think actually reviewing some of the All-22 for the Chargers game, that's actually seen, like, no, there were guys definitely open downfield, even though it didn't feel like it. It just, those opportunities weren't taken for this, that, or the other reason. I feel pretty safe saying that there wasn't a lot of open opportunities for Aaron Rodgers to get the football downfield, which he's pretty reticent to want to do anyways.
Yeah, that was kind of my issues with this entire year. He struggled against man, struggled against the blitz, anything outside DK Metcalf, which really has been go balls, a couple in breakers. Mm-hmm. And the thing about DK Metcalf is he's a streaky player. He's not won't be consistent. That's been his thing his entire career. I know you know. You've done plenty of charting on him. But he's specifically good at certain routes, and there's times he can kind of shrink, literally and figuratively. And it felt like that tonight. And it's when you're playing man coverage, Texans didn't play that much man. When they did, it played out exactly how I expected. Rodgers went 1 of 6 for 4 yards against man coverage. 1 of 6 for 4 yards. And then against zone, not much better, of course. But you take away DK Metcalf, what else he got? Darnell Washington's hurt. Freiermuth is average. You know, Jonnu Smith is non-existent in these games. This is the receiver room that they built. They need one more receiver. I mean, that's like, I know they don't take receivers in the first round, but it feels like you can just dial one up with a Sharpie. And also, not only just their offense, which again, but they ran the ball actually fairly well, which you can do against this Texans defense a little bit, but it's just so hard. Like you mentioned it, they just lined up, kick your ass, only blitzed a couple times. Rodgers went 2 of 3 for 3 yards against the blitz. And they just beat the crap out of you. Rodgers sacked 4 times, an intentional grounding, a pick 6. I mentioned the man coverage stats. Barely blitzing, rushing 4, playing, you know, some stunts and twists, but they just line up and get you. And especially if you're in third and long or with a negative game script like that, it's very, very hard to beat this defense. This is one of the elite units of the playoffs is this Texans defense. We'll see if the run defense kind of holds up in more neutral game scripts. But if you have to pass the ball consistently, it's hard living. You know, we can get into maybe what the next steps are for the Steelers, but Texans offense, again, I thought on first down, they absolutely shredded. They were running the ball very consistently. I don't have the exact first down run rate. I could probably find it in 2 seconds. 64% of the time they ran the ball on first down. And they were just churning. And this is, they finished with a 45% success rate on run plays, 31 design run plays, consistent, kept themselves above in front of the sticks. Honestly, if CJ Stroud and the snap, you know, a couple bad Aaron snaps, a couple weird plays from him, a bad pick in the red zone where he's got to know how the game flow is going and just get rid of that ball. Like has to. There's no excuses for that pick in the red zone. But I had a couple moments, botched flea flicker, but it was like, he didn't even have to play great. And that's what is kind of cool about this Texas team right now, why I feel so good about them. Dominant defense, the run game being pretty dang good right now. At very least, they've been average for the back half of the season. And that maybe makes you feel pretty good about maybe a run as the 5 seed in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, I thought flea flicker was needless. Bad year for flea flickers, by the way.
Bad year. We had a couple weeks. Week 18 was real rough. Yeah. This was
bad like month plus for right. I know when it hits so good. Bears hit a great one to Luther Burden. That was like in September against the Cowboys. That is forever ago. I think that's the only good that's probably the only good flea flicker, at least that I can remember, of the entire season. And the bad ones stand out a lot more. But yeah, that wasn't great. There were a few other kind of questionable things, but otherwise I did like the game plan that Nick Caley had here, which was just pick on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the slot. I mean, Christian Kirk career game here, you know, Christian Kirk, who's had like a very forgettable season for this Houston Texans team, is kind of like just a rotational player. He goes for over $140 in this game. And I thought that made a lot of sense. I talked about this on the preview show on the Fantasy Forecast with Joel Smith, that there were 3 teams this year that allowed over 9 yards per target to slot receivers. It was the Commanders. Oh, okay. Well, of course they can't do anything right. The Bears, we know they've been gashed, and Kyler Gordon has been hurt, and he's their slot defender. And then it was the Steelers was the other one, over 9.0 yards per target allowed to slot receivers. And they picked on that weakness over and over and over again with Christian Kirk. I mean, shoot, they even had one long play that, if Tytus Howard doesn't get blown up, you know, and maybe it's a slightly better ball, and even Jalen Noll probably still could have made the play on it, he would have had a big play from the slot in this game. That was just a good defensive play. I believe it was, now I can't remember who it was on the Steelers defense, but Chuck Clark, I think it was actually, who knocked that ball loose. So yeah, it, like they had that game plan pretty well dialed up there, that this is how you pick on this Steelers defense. You want to go after them against the safeties, the slot corners, because otherwise Joey Porter Jr. had a great matchup with Nico Collins, who unfortunately leaves with the concussion. He got banged around a lot in this game. Pretty nervous about that for Houston going forward. But yeah, they really had a good game plan. They picked on Pittsburgh exactly where you want to.
Yeah, that's been the thing with this Steelers defense. There's been some, damned if they do, damned if they don't with their personnel. Jalen Ramsey being the kind of that key cog, because he could play safety, play in the slot. I thought overall he was better when he was deep and just kind of a true safety net, clean things up, true eraser type. But then that left a weakness in the slot. And then if he plays in the slot, leaves weaknesses elsewhere. More big plays. They're worse against the run when he played in the slot. So kind of just one of these things. This is their personnel, man. Like, they've had Tomlin gets the most out of them. I think Arthur Smith tries on offense. It's just ill-fitting personnel. I think the old line's going to be pretty dang good in the future because they got a lot of talent. Are they going to be all pros and pro bowlers? I don't know, but I think they could actually get like three good starters, center, right guard, right tackle. Smola was a pro bowler this year as well. He's a vet. And then they figure out the left tackle. Man, that's a good, solid offensive line. I think they desperately need that receiver to add some juice, but like, you can just feel that, okay, this is what gets you a little excited about the Texans. That, again, we talked about this last night, the Steelers defense has a weakness in the slot. They have the personnel to take advantage of that. And it's Christian Kirk. I was, been harping on, maybe want to see some Jalen Noel throughout the season, but seeing Christian Kirk, this is what he does. He's a vertical slot player, a specific slot player, but he can abuse you if you don't have anybody there. And the Steelers defense doesn't have anybody there, or at least that can hold up, especially how they play. They play a lot of inside out stuff, so you can create a lot of natural leverage with slot routes if you have a guy. So it was nice to see, outside of just the botches and the turnovers, like a Texans team actually had put something together that looked encouraging. I know people are going to talk about Stroud and all the stuff and everything. The flea flicker, what do you have? He had a flea flicker. He tried to get rid of it. Then he had the other one where he botched the snap, and then that got tipped down. He had the interception in the red zone. And I feel like he had two more potential fumble from snap exchange stuff. So on the road, I don't know what the heck's going on with that. Not maybe get them all out, getting all the sevens out at a craps table. But that was a great instance of don't make a bad play worse, because that happened a couple times. But I don't know. I just feel real good. Not real good, but I do feel good about this Texas team and what they've been building to, even with all those kind of blemishes. I'm glad you brought up the Nico Collins thing too. But their next matchup, though, play the Patriots. You juiced up about that. That's going to be a pretty fun matchup. But any closing thoughts before we kind of do a little look ahead on these teams?
I'm a little more nervous about the Stroud stuff than you are, I think. I thought he was just really off.
It keeps happening in these games.
Yes, because it keeps happening. And the whole point of Stroud is supposed to be that he's, really good on-time, rhythm, accurate passer. And he just wasn't that guy at all. And I think we've just seen that a little bit too much. And I like what they've done in the ground game, but they're not going to be one of these teams that ever, I think, can truly take you over as a rushing attack. One, because the offensive line has gone from hideous to, I think, below average. I don't think they'll ever be that unit where they can really lean on you as a ground game. And I also think Woody Marks, he's a nice player, but when Woody Marks is your clear cut, Nick Chubb had a couple nice runs in this one, but when Woody Marks is your clear cut lead back, you probably ain't ever going to have that type of run game where you can just lean on a team in that regard, right? Which would be great. I mean, let's be honest here. This game was close throughout. I mean, obviously the Texans were the better team, and really, I thought I was messaging with some of the producers on the fantasy show at about 10:30 Eastern, when I think Fairbairn kicked a field goal. One of them said, "Hey, is this game over?" And I was like, "Well, I think if the Texans screw up on a snap on their next drive, and the Steelers somehow take that back for a touchdown, that's about the only way I think that they can overcome that deficit." But that was 10-6. So, I mean, this game was close, and I think it was because Houston wasn't maximizing on those third downs in the red zone, which the Steelers can make it tough on you when they can get pressure. And obviously this is a unit that's susceptible to pressure, but I'm still a little bit more nervous about the Stroud thing maybe than you are, but that is a defense that absolutely can carry carry you every single week. And if he gets hot, right. I think he is still good enough to get hot. And some of these players around him step up. If Collins is healthy, that's a big deal. They played on Monday night. Do they play on Saturday or Sunday? The Steelers. I didn't look at the schedule.
Around NFL, quick Google. They play Sunday, noon game or noon Pacific, yeah. 3 Eastern.
It's still a bit of a turnaround. I mean, it's still a bit of a tight turnaround, but I would imagine Collins might not be available for that game. Again, I think he was concussed earlier in the matchup when he hit his head, and he kind of shake off the cobwebs. And he had a pretty rough hit not too long ago. So yeah, it's just, we'll see if he's available. If he's not available, that does make it a little tough. I think if Stroud can get hot, maybe, but I'm a little more nervous about it maybe than you are.
And Christian Gonzalez has a concussion too. So
it's true. Maybe that's like a draw.
One clears it, like that's a, yeah, that's a wash apparently. He had a sequence and like, I mean, I even tweeted something like, stop. You're making me look bad. CJ, like, come on, man. He had one of the botched snaps. And again, it's one of these things where we're just watching it live and it replayed. I don't know if he dropped it or it was a bad snap, but it goes into a 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 15, and he hits a beautiful deep ball. I want to say to Christian Kirk, and those are some of the plays that I would just kind of like. It just wins me back. It's like those just big hitters, the balls that he plays with, and that's what you kind of need in the playoffs. It's just that. So like on 3rd down, he went 8 of 12 for 152 yards, and they need that. Like they're not always going to get 5 yards a pop or 5 yards to go on 3rd down. Patriots. Did you see what they did to the Chargers? Like they just absolutely dominated them. I think the Texans are in their structure and the O-line's a step up of what the Chargers have become, but they're going to probably take advantage of that. He was pressured a decent amount of times. I do want to watch. There's a couple times I could tell he's pressing. He has a tendency to do that. He's a big game hunter. I think sometimes these guys that know moments and know kind of what they're playing in, they can kind of like, know what they're playing. If that makes sense, they can't turn off the noise. They kind of know, like, hey, if I win this game and do well, like, hey, I get that kind of monkey off my back. Some guys know that, and some guys can turn it off and it can motivate you, but it could spiral on you. Well, I just did that, so I need a big play here. All right, I just did that bad thing, so I need a big play here. And you feel it with him. And you remember, he's a young player still, but it is just like has these moments where it's like, just stop doing that, because otherwise it can look so clean. The Patriots are just in another interesting matchup. Milton Williams is going to be in their nightmares. Jake Andrews tonight gave up 7 pressures, I believe. 5 pressures, sorry, Jake Andrews. 5 pressures, two of them quick, has some of the snap stuff. Trent Brown gave up a couple, but Ed Ingram as well, who actually I thought did fairly well in the run game. You could tell this game they slid a bunch of times towards him. I also thought, you talked about the Kaylee's play calling. I thought they did a couple of nice times of putting Stroud on the move, whether it was like a sprint out or a bootleg, and doing it to the left away from TJ Watt. I thought that was just kind of a nice little tweak, just kind of knowing. Ran a couple of times at TJ Watt, which I was kind of like, ooh, that's leaning into the punch a little bit too much there.
Yeah, spicy.
I'm like playing a little bit of fire there. They've done that. I've talked about it with you, I think, when they played the Seahawks and they had the sequence in short yardage where they like ran, like just botched plays, were unblockable plays. Those moments just creep up with this team. But the thing is, the AFC is just so, so wide open.
Totally.
But yeah, they play. Yeah, Patriots. That Patriots game is going to be fun. See, Drake May versus this defense. That's going to be a lot of fun going into the next round. Any parting thoughts on the Steelers? I know we'll probably talk about them in the upcoming weeks. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers starts his next sabbatical until OTAs. We'll see. We'll find out, to be continued. But any parting thoughts on the Steelers? Texans, congratulations. Moving on to next round. Very excited to see that matchup. But parting thoughts for the Steelers before we wrap this up.
Yeah, too much quarterback uncertainty in Minnesota for me to assume that we've seen the end of Aaron Rodgers. And I'll just leave it at that with how that offseason flirtation went this past year. History repeats itself a little bit of that. So I won't fully eulogize Aaron Rodgers until he's both said that he's done and like week one, maybe even like week four of next season. And I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about the Steelers, but the reality here is they've been outscored their last 4 playoff losses, 131-58. And I, like I said, this game was close at one point, but the floodgates absolutely opened up, and that was a deserved floodgates open up, because the Texans defense can absolutely do, they can absolutely do that to you. And I honestly feel like I'm not a fan of any team. I don't like ride or die for any team at this point in my life anymore. But if I was a Steelers fan, I really wonder like how I would feel about this season, because on the one hand, I think there have been some fun moments with Rodgers and this whole operation that maybe you could say like, all right, that was and week 18 was a really fun football game. There were a couple, like especially primetime big games, both the Ravens games with Rodgers, like that was fun. But you're here once again, you've gotten waxed in the wild card round, just like you've done the last four. You know, I saw My Sports Update tweet that the last time the Steelers won a playoff game was when Barack Obama was president. You never want to have this guy was president associated with the last time.
Yeah.
The presidential tweets, you don't want that. That's not what you want, because that means it's been a long time if we're talking about previous presidential administrations.
We had Pearl Harbor talk last night. Or are we talking...
So at least it hadn't been that long, but it's still, it's just, you come to it, like, did any of this matter? Like was this a completely pointless season for Pittsburgh to ultimately do so many different things, really lean into some of the Rodgers of it all, some of the frustrations that we've talked about, you know, the Metcalf trade, which I hated at the time. And it continues to age poorly in my opinion, because he's a terrible fit with Rodgers for all the reasons we've talked about. Like, did any of this matter? Like, you did all this to ultimately get back to the same place. And once again, we're talking about, you know, Mike Tomlin's job. Does he want to go to TV? I really wonder how I'd feel about this whole season if I was a Pittsburgh fan.
Just their offense kind of played out how I expected. And the run game was actually pretty good. And there's times they hit some explosives when DK Metcalf was in there. But it was kind of like, this is the bed you made. And I don't know if you want to run it back. There's no stat that points to a like overly whelming successful season from Aaron Rodgers. There's no, like, Kirk Cousins showed some flashes at least. You're like, oh, okay, I could maybe eke out some starts with you if we do it right. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying how people talk themselves into it. I'm not once watched Rodgers and the lowest air yards to the sticks in the last 20 years and just times just giving up. I mean, they're down two scores in the fourth quarter. And he's still throwing the ball underneath on third down. And it's like, I get it. It's 3rd and 11 or whatever, but like, push it.
Come
like
on.
You got to score. Like, you know, and he throws the pick six. I know he's mortified because he hates, that's why he doesn't throw him in the middle, is because he hates throwing picks. But anyway, like, just doesn't want those on the box score. But pick six, oh my God. And that's kind of like, it's a very vet laden team. And like, all right, so now we got to, like, they, you know, making the Jalen Ramsey trade, stuff like that. They got a lot of 30 plus year olds. He's got a lot of interesting decisions to make, especially at quarterback, of course. Does Arthur Smith get some love somewhere? Like, I know he interviewed with Tennessee, I believe. I'm not sure anywhere else. I don't know, man. It's just like, but it's just so much more of the same. I wish I had some cool statement to kind of like, yeah, this was great. But all right, what was this? 6 points is Aaron Rodgers' lowest offensive output in 22 playoff games. That's a stat. They didn't convert a third down the first half, which is the first time the Steelers haven't done that since 1989 in a playoff game.
Good Lord.
There's nothing where you're like pointing, going like, oh, we just missed it. Like, we talked about the Jags last night losing to the Bills. And it's like, the big takeaway is like, that was a good game. And like, they with a couple turnovers, but they have some stuff to build on. Look at this young player. Oh, that and this guy. That's fun. And they're still, okay, cool. The Steelers, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not going to, like, DK Metcalf to me is a two, you know, like a high end two. So it's like, now, all right, where are you going to find your one? Like, are you going to pay for somebody? All right, pay for Alec Pierce. All right, now are you going to invest that much in a passing game that with a quarterback doesn't want to use it in Aaron Rodgers? Or if they move on to somebody else, then that's a totally different discussion. I don't know. Just very, I think how you said it's like, did we learn anything? It's my profile picture on Twitter is Brad Pitt in Burn After Reading, which is a Coen Brothers movie. And at the end, the movie ends with,
never seen it.
I think it's J.K. Simmons. And he's just like, did we learn anything today? I don't know. Don't do it again. Like, and that's kind of how I feel like about this. Like, it's kind of like cynical, nihilistic, but that's kind of how I feel about the Steelers. And I just want to see what they go from here. Do not move on from Tomlin, by the way. That'd be maybe my last parting advice for it. But yeah, Matt. So we didn't learn anything with the Steelers. God dang it!
I feel like we did not.
I feel like
we
football 3-1 since you and I've started working together, been coworkers. Like, the Steelers have just been such a thorn to talk about. Like every time I get excited, they just come crashing back to earth. And it's like, I feel like you the entire time has been like, yep, told you so. Yep.
Yeah, I've been on this beat for a minute now. That every Steelers season is just we're seeing the shadow over and over again. This is the same thing, and I've definitely been out there for before it was cool talking about the Steelers and some of this the sameness of it all. I think their wide receiver draft history was super overrated at the time, and then they go out and they trade for somebody else's guy that they don't want anymore in DK Metcalf. It's just getting more and more. I think if the Ravens can move on from John Harbaugh, which I have mixed feelings about, and I think I'd have mixed feelings if the Steelers moved on from Mike Tomlin, but sometimes like you just gotta reset. Like 18 years plus at one spot is just it's too long. I think it might be best for both parties involved to go their separate ways and try to find success elsewhere, you know, whatever that is. But obviously that's easier for me to sit here and say in my home office than being the one who really makes the decision. And like, who are we getting in a coaching cycle that not but 2 weeks ago, you and I were like, no, there's no good names available here. There's definitely more interesting names now since then with Harbaugh out and McDaniel out, but still, I don't know that it's all that sexy of a coaching cycle.
Well, that's the thing is all the interesting coaches are all retreads, which kind of tells you about all you need to know. It's more about just, yeah, I'll just swap these guys around as opposed to like, oh, this interesting young OC, this cool dynamic DC, you know, this cool college guy. It's more like, yeah, I guess Matt Nagy, you know, I guess, you know, this guy can work for them. I will say this is kind of last thought on the Steelers. Steelers have a first, a second, the Cowboys third. They have a comp third. So they have five picks in the top 99. They have a fourth round comp, sixth round comp, two sixth round comps. So they got, you know, some collateral, but it's also like also one of these things where it's like, I don't know, not really the team that's been just like wowing me. You know, the Wisconsin draft picks work out, of course. But other than that, it's got a, of course. So maybe just scout. I wouldn't be scouting Wisconsin right now. But I think they just got to add some juice to this team. Maybe that's the way I'll leave it. Steelers need to add some juice, and I think that's can start at the quarterback position, maybe in other spots as well. But closing it out today, I'll be back tomorrow with Matt because we're going three in a row. We're going for the three-peat.
That's right.
Shaq and Kobe, baby. We're going to give our favorite head coaching fits for all of those eight openings. Is it Steelers 9? Ooh. But I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on social media. That is Matt Harmon. You can find him at Matt_BYB. Make sure to check out Reception Perception. Make sure to check out your article that came out today as well.
Yeah. I was up late doing our show last night, and then I turned around and did the fantasy show. So I submitted it a little bit later than I probably would have promised the editors originally, but it is live, and it's on the playoff losers. So kind of like fallout, what they need to do. Came to some interesting conclusions actually for some of the teams that have already lost. And then I'll have an addition for the Steelers and kind of looking forward for them tomorrow. That ain't happening tonight.
Yeah. No. Well, it is almost tomorrow for you. If we just went 12 more minutes.
That's a fair point.
No, but. Matt, thanks for grinding through. This has been a ton of fun doing these shows with you. And we got plenty of good stuff coming up on Football 3-0. But make sure to subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us on YouTube, like some of you are right now, which thank you for joining us a late night, especially after that schlock. It's football, man. We're gonna miss it when it's gone. You're going to miss Texans Steelers in a few weeks. So just enjoy it. Just eat that sugar while you can, all that muck right now. Cobble it up.
I would rewatch that game right now. That was fun to watch. Okay. It was fun. Like it's a good ass kicking is fun to watch. That was enjoyable. A little bit of brain rot. When you're watching the Steelers offense, but overall, I would take that 100 times out of 100. And if you offered it to me in May, I'm not going to say I'd give up like a couple vacation days, but yeah, I might give up a vacation day or two.
Yeah, definitely. So especially when you hit June and you're just like, oh my God, top 10 lists. Yeah, no, I maintain that Thursday night football Twitter is one of my favorite things because everyone's kind of work week's done and everyone's just kind of, you can tell a little looser. And usually there's some schlock going on and some complaining about the announcers. Yeah. So this kind of had that vibe because the same kind of thing. It's like some Monday nights you skip, but this one was like everybody's tuning in because it's the playoffs. Oh, yeah. So kind of had a little bit of that vibe going on. It was Monday like a Thursday, which tells you all you need to know. But wildcard weekend was still fun, and we'll have plenty of content coming up
for the divisional round, conference round, Super Bowl, all that good stuff. Thanks to Stone, Austin, and Madison behind the scenes for making us look and sound good. Thank you to everyone that joined us live. Hopefully you had a ton of fun. I know I did. I know Matt did. Did not have a sleepy time tea. I know that as well. But thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.